and we're hanging out at the podcast movement conference. What'd you even call this? Seminar?
I guess conference works better.
It's a movement of some kind.
It's a movement.
Well, anyways, I put up a lovely sign that says answer three questions, and I just want to ask people their insights. So, Paul, question number one, besides identifying yourself as your name is Paul already, as I already have done, ruined your intro, what's your plug? What are you here for? What brings you to podcast movement?
I'm a podcaster.
Okay, what's your show?
I have a podcast called the Healthy Happy Human Podcast. And I am an educator, a coach, and a public speaker, and I try to help people live healthy, happy lives.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. That sounds lovely. So in the pursuit of living a healthy, happy life, question number one, what has been your greatest challenge?
My personal greatest challenge is being a human and all of the... Can I curse on here?
Absolutely.
All of the fucked up things that our brain does that sabotages us from doing the things that... allow us to be happy and healthy. And that is the constant struggle that I work on myself and that I help others to hopefully overcome.
Do you have one that's like, namely still, like question number one, subtitle A. Do you have a specific instance that has been your greatest challenge in that pursuit of being a good human?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's certain ones that come up for everyone. And that's why I say this is human stuff because it happens to me. It happens to literally everyone. So an easy one that always comes to mind is perfectionism, right?
It's a huge thing
that holds most people back. And it's like we have this ideal of trying to be perfect when, in fact, being perfect is impossible. So we hold ourselves to this false standard and then we don't take the action we need to exercise, to eat right, to start a podcast, to start a business, to work on a relationship, to whatever the thing is that we want to do, because we have this unattainable ideal of what it's supposed to look like.
And how's that pursuit going for you? Do you feel like you're still pursuing perfection, or have you let off the gas a little bit and given yourself room to fail?
Oh no, I'm huge on failure. I literally teach a course called Failure School where I teach people how to fail.
And failure is cool.
Right. It's not only cool, it's a part of... it's a necessary part of the equation. It's the yin to the yang, right? There is no, you know, there can be no progress without failure, one, but it's also like you want that, right? Like no one wants to watch the movie of like guy wants girl, guy gets girl, movie over, right? It's the struggle that makes the secret sauce.
Exactly. Okay, question number two. Who is the most overrated Disney princess?
Jasmine.
You know, fucking everyone says Jasmine. I don't understand why. What is your reasoning behind Jasmine being the most overrated Disney princess?
Well, you know, honestly, I'm glad you asked this question because this is something I put a lot of thought into before this moment.
You've been waiting for the moment to shine and talk about this.
This is actually...
Here it is, Paul. Tell us why Disney has the most overrated princess being Jasmine.
Well, I think that it just comes with the territory when you got the top spot, because I feel like Aladdin is like the top, you know, one of those top, and she's like the biggest princess. It's kind of like how, like, Joe Rogan is going to be the most hated podcaster.
Makes sense.
For better or for worse. It's just like there's more eyes on him. So Jasmine, like, is the most overrated, but she's also the most rated, you know?
Okay.
Some people.
So it's undue hate.
Right? It's not undue. It's just like it comes with, you know, if you have a million reviews on Amazon, a lot of 5 stars, but there's going to be some 1-star reviews in there,
right,
too. If you only have 5 reviews, you might have 5 5-stars, but it doesn't really
balance
out as much.
So it just comes with carrying the crown,
right,
the literal crown,
right,
of being a Disney princess. Fantastic. Right. Okay, Paul, question number three. What is a pet peeve that people do?
I mean...
A pet peeve of yours that people just...
A pet peeve of mine... Again, I'm a big, you know, the healthy, happy human.
Healthy, happy human,
thing,
but he's got to have some pet peeves, though, I bet.
Positivity. So my pet peeve is the negativity that people have in terms of there's a one that I have been really peeved on recently is people are saying like, well, like must be nice or they're so lucky. You know,
okay.
Where it's like you see someone succeeding and you're like, oh, well, they're just lucky.
Right.
And it's like. Yes, they are. Everyone is lucky. I'm lucky that a plane doesn't come out of the sky and crash into us as we're recording this.
Those are some good odds, yes.
Right? But it's like, why? Like the whole thing of like, you're so lucky. It's like, if you're using that as an excuse, you can say that about everything.
Right.
Literally, you have to be lucky to achieve literally anything. To wake up in the morning, you have to be lucky. A lot of people wake up when
That's
they go
true.
To sleep at night.
Good point.
So it's like, it's this nonsensical, like ender of sentences because it's like, well, like, duh.
Okay.
Not,
so is
one.
That like kind of like a pessimism you don't really
I'm a realist, you know. Okay. I can be pessimistic too, but it's not that it doesn't add any value. Another one is like easier said than done. You know, like whenever we're bringing up, like, I'm like, well, you need to be positive. And people are like, well, you know, easier said than done. But everything's easier said than done. It's easier to speak than it is to do.
That's
right?
True.
So it's like,
that's
again,
true.
Like, I don't need to say that because we can just assume that literally everything is easier said than done.
Yeah.
Just like we can assume that literally anyone who does anything of worth is lucky because we know that.
I somewhat enjoy your literal sense of realism. Well, easier said than done. Well, yeah, everything is easier said than done. Anyone can talk that shit.
You have to that's caveat true. It because I find myself saying this all the time. Every time I'm talking about something, I go, I get that it's easier said than done. I know that this stuff is hard. But it's like, if I have to caveat every statement with that,
right.
Do I even need it as a caveat anymore? Or can we just accept it and go on with our day and realize that, yes, that is the case. But like, okay, now what, you know?
Awesome. Well, those are my three questions, Paul, and I'd like to end the segment with a surprise. Turn the table. Paul, do you have any three questions for me?
Three questions for you. What made you set up this little thing right here?
That's an easy one. What's up, G? We're at a podcast conference, and no one's podcasting. It blows my fucking mind. It makes no damn sense that every podcast party I've been to in association of podcast movement, there is no podcasting being done.
right.
So that's why I'm podcasting.
Okay.
Because it only makes sense.
It's a very, very fair answer. My question number two is, where did you get those cool socks from?
These cool ass socks, you know, I got them as a gift. It was a white elephant Christmas gift. And I fucking scored, I thought.
That is a
score.
Yeah,
I mean, these socks are the quintessential NASA logo socks. Yeah. And I think they're fresh as hell.
I'm a big fan of some funky socks.
So thanks. I'm a fan of like the daringness of wearing a floral shirt. Not many people can pull off floral, but anyone can wear anything.
Right.
It's easier said than done. Just fucking do it. just do it. You can do it.
All right, my last question.
Last question, Paul.
Last question is, are those glasses prescription or are they just for the fashion?
That is also a popular question that I receive. And no, I literally cannot see for shit. So these are prescriptions.
Same here.
Not a solid like prescription. If I take them off, I'm pretty sure I can see like the hand in front of me. But overall, I do need them.
All right, awesome.
Cool. Paul, plug your show again one more time so everyone that's listening at home knows to tune in and find out where we can have more conversations with Paul.
Yeah, awesome. My show is called The Healthy Happy Human Podcast. You can find it wherever podcasts exist. And my name is Paul Levitin, PaulLevitin, and that's on every social media platform if everyone wants to contact me for some reason.
Fantastic. Thank you, Paul. It was a great conversation. I appreciate having three questions with you. So back at Podcast Movement, I run into Mike Bryant from Defiantly Me Productions. I fucking love the title of your production company, Defiantly Me. Tell me more about Defiantly Me.
Well, it's just me.
There you go.
It was born out of, I used to work for iHeartRadio, and so they started to get into the podcast space, and I had done some podcasts for them, and I wanted to break out and build my own network. And so the name comes from just me wanting to be me authentically.
Hey, that's what's up.
And trying to elevate other voices that want to be them as well.
Awesome.
So right now I have two podcasts, and they are women-led, multicultural, and it's about mental health and the wellness space. The show is called The Homework Pod, and it has a HR director who's also my stepmother.
Hey, what's up?
She's an HR director. She was an HR director at Marriott for 30 years, and then we have an acupuncturist. Her name is Joy, and those two together is a good combination because you get a little bit of the career help, and which is what everyone needs right now. And then
absolutely.
A little bit of the whole body, mind, and spirit with joy, with the acupuncture aspect. And so we're still new, but we're growing, and it's been just a great process developing with them.
That's awesome, man. Okay, so my mini experiment we have today on the Social Nuisance Podcast is answer three questions.
Okay.
You ready for three questions?
Yeah, let's
Fantastic.
Do it.
Fantastic. Okay, first and foremost, I need to know, who is the most overrated Disney princess?
Oh, man, the most...
Yo, you weren't ready.
No, I was not. The most overrated Disney princess.
Most overrated Disney princess.
I gotta say it's Snow White.
Snow White. Okay, that's a new contender on the board. I've not heard in a while. Okay, anyway, why is it Snow White, Mike?
I feel like you watch the movie for the dwarves,
You show up, you're like, I'm just here for the dwarves. Yeah, like, can we just cut her?
No one really is like, yeah, Snow White. They're usually like dopey, grumpy. That's true. Those on the t-shirts all the time. So, like, I think she's a little overrated compared to the seven other.
So you're saying that the name of the movie needs to be Seven Dwarves, ... Oh, and Snow White.
Oh, and Snow White. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Question number two.
Okay.
What does the world need less of?
What does the world need less of?
And why is it Kanye?
That's also a good one. Yeah, yeah.
What does the world need less of?
Commercials.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, that's a double-edged sword.
It is. Our
life in blood for podcasts is ad revenue. But I feel you.
Yeah. It's a very complicated question in my soul. I will tell you that.
What do we need less of? You know, I'll up that ante and I'll say, you know what? I think we just need less. Inauthentic. There we go. Less inauthentic commercials.
Okay. That really pares it down a little bit more. Yeah.
If I tuned in, whether it be, you know, TV or a fucking podcast or what have you, and I knew that whatever endorsement was about to roll, like, oh, they put their name on it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I trust them, so I must trust the product. I'd be more enabled to be okay with it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what's Joe Rogan down with this week? You know?
Less of the senseless.
Yeah, yeah.
Senseless stuff, right.
But then at that point, who the hell's going to endorse Tide, you know?
This is true.
I don't know.
This is true.
Okay. Last question, Mike. What was the worst advice you've ever been given? People are always asking, what's the best advice?
I mean, it's tied directly into my company's name. Is okay. Don't, you know, be quieter. I just needed to be defiantly me. So it goes with that whole thing. Not just, you know, random people with my family. Like, I'm the first guy with tattoos, earrings. Like, my family is very straight edge. So I was always that. I was always pressing that forward. My wife calls me an agent of change.
Nice.
Kind of like Loki.
Hey, so I, with the Marvel reference. Okay, Mike. I like you, bro. You can stay. Awesome. Very cool. Okay. So, a sub question three, subtitle A.
Okay.
How'd you like the Loki series? Did you like it?
Dude, I loved it.
When I realized
how much I was like that, like, I'm kind of that dude who kind of pushes the envelope.
Okay.
I cause a little bit of disruption. Not everybody appreciates me right off the bat, but time sinks in and you realize, oh, Loki is actually one of the most important pieces of this whole Marvel situation, but he doesn't get the love until this series.
Yeah.
So, and that was 10 years later.
Okay. There it is, man. Okay, I dig that. I super dig that. And you're right. That was 10 years later.
Yeah.
He didn't get his flowers until later.
No.
Kind of like Black Widow. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the flip that most people are not ready for.
Okay.
Do you have three questions for me?
Wow. That was a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Three questions for my guy, Imagine. What is your podcast about?
So Stars and Street Lamps, we oversee three different podcasts.
Okay.
The first one is called the Social Nuisance Podcast, where we get into, like, social commentary, current events, and the usual yada yada that people don't want to have conversations about, but you need to have conversations about. Whether it be religion, politics, why do people not park in the parking spaces correctly and outside the line, stuff like
nuisance.
That. Yeah, you're being a nuisance.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's called The Dig, and The Dig is like a DVD commentary where the writer and director, they talk about the movie as the movie's playing. But think about that concept with your favorite music artist and album.
Mm.
What if Dr. Dre got to talk about The Chronic track by track by track by track the entire way through? Wouldn't that be dope?
That would be audio gold.
Yo, iHeartRadio, what's up, man? Yeah. Make this shit happen. Okay, and then my third podcast is called Tell Me a Secret Podcast. And Tell Me a Secret is just that. People tell us secrets and we discuss.
Wow.
But they're anonymous. So we let people come into the light without being worried about their taboo, ashamed, embarrassed sentiment and let them know, hey, man, that's not that bad. Let that flag fly. It's okay to be the way that you are right there. It's totally
good.
Cool.
That's
so those are my three podcasts.
Okay. Okay. And how did you get to here, to podcasting? What were you doing before this?
That's a great question. I don't even listen to podcasts.
Wow.
I don't listen to any podcasts, and I run three of them. Isn't that crazy?
That is wild.
Yeah. But yeah, I just feel like I'm always talking. I'm always trying to have an engaging conversation with people. But no one ever wants to or provides an avenue.
Right.
So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to fucking just do it.
Yeah.
So here we are. And I was like, oh, this would be a good show. Oh, that would be a good show. And now I have three.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the next one.
Okay, hit me with the mic.
What are you going to do next?
What am I going to do next? I'm going to continue to bug people and have those encouraging conversations and hopefully we'll gain some traction and really, you know, make a movement out of podcasts and really show that this, it's an authentic medium, it's an intimate medium, and ultimately it's a great medium to find and associate yourself with, like, oh, what's your favorite movie? Oh, but what's your favorite podcast? Because that'll tell me a lot about you, too, in the same way who your favorite music artists are.
Oh, man. Favorite movie, Bad Boys?
Bad Boys.
Well, quick hit.
Are we not talking about 2 and 3?
2's okay. See, I'm a fan of all of them, but 2's okay. 3's better.
Okay.
Right?
I dig that.
But, yeah, I'm a huge Will Smith fan, but Bad Boys, by far, favorite movie. And then my favorite podcast right now, I listen to a lot of sessions or oral sessions. I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Oh, have you tuned into the Quincy Jones show? Shout out my boy Quincy Jones.
No.
Okay, the Quincy Jones show. My dude Quincy Jones, he fucking loves wrestling, and he's a rapper like myself.
Okay.
And he has a fucking podcast about wrestling.
Love it.
And it's phenomenal.
Love it.
He is my dude. So I'll hit you with the links and whatnot, but I'm also going to send you his information.
Please
and
do.
Let's work. Where are you based out of, Mike?
Just moved to the West Coast, live in Inglewood. Moved from Maryland with my wife.
Fantastic, man.
Yep.
Well, welcome to the West Coast.
Thank
Hopefully
you,
they treat you much better than I, because I've been born and bred here. They fucking hate me. Mike, an absolute fucking pleasure meeting you, man.
Appreciate you, man.
And we're going to link up for sure.
Definitely.
Thank you, sir. Hey, everyone. This is Imagine. We're still at Podcast Movement with our next guest. Kim, would you like to introduce yourself and your show?
Yes, indeed. Hello, everyone. My name is Kim Fox.
Hey.
I am the founder and organizer of Podfest Cairo in Cairo, Egypt.
Ooh, that's cool.
I am
cool.
Also the executive producer of the Eki Amasor podcast, the Tell Your Story Egypt podcast. I do research, academic, scholarly research on podcasting, specifically people of color, black podcasters.
That is fantastic. Oh, it keeps going. I love this scroll you've just unrolled.
I teach podcasting, and my students have won numerous international awards. And finally, I'm currently the co-president of the Association for Independence in Radio, Air
that
Media.
That is fantastic. I'm so glad I pulled you over. I hooked her in. She's
yes.
like, what's going on? I'm like, hey, let me ask you three questions real quick.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Three Questions on Social Nuisance Podcast. My name is Imagine, and we're going to get into three questions.
Great. Let's go.
Question number one. Kim, what has been your greatest challenge?
My greatest challenge has been being recognized.
How so?
I just find, for some reason, I find myself in spaces where I apparently I'm invisible and people don't really acknowledge my power or what I have to offer. And as a result, they, you know, it usually doesn't ascend to something that's really beneficial to them because I recognize that they don't recognize me. So that kind of, something about the energy. And so that it's a challenge to try to get people to say, women get this a lot. You're in a room and you say something and no one listens.
Right.
And then a few minutes later, a guy says it and everyone's like all over it.
They had to mansplain. Unbelievable.
It's a bad situation, but this is the challenge for me.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it gender? Is it appearance?
It's
is
all
it your
this.
Swag?
It's all this.
Okay.
It's definitely gendered.
Okay.
For me, it comes in, you know, it sometimes turns into the angry black woman.
Okay.
Because then to get heard, I have to sort of be a little bit more firm.
Right.
This
right.
is a huge challenge. I'm like, that's not how I, you know, it's not how I am by nature.
Right.
But that's how I am getting my point across.
And part A to that first question, how are you overcoming that challenge?
Again, trying to raise my voice in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be in the room, and I'm not in the room to sit and listen.
Right.
I am in the room to impact change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know what I bring to the table. And so trying to make sure I get into the spaces where I want to be, to do the things that I want to do, to see the change that I want to see.
Absolutely. Love it. Okay. Question number two. We're hitting in with the hard hitters. Who is the most overrated Disney princess?
Ooh, that's a tough one for me. I don't really do Disney princesses.
You don't do Disney princesses?
I don't. And so, like, to say an overrated one, ooh, you got me.
Okay, you don't like... Is that because you don't like Disney princesses in general? Disney as an organization?
No. No, I do enjoy Disney.
I just never know. People are like, I don't mess with Disney.
No, I do mess with Disney. But I feel like I don't consume a lot of Disney movies.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I just kind of know, you know, your Cinderella story, your Snow White. Who's the girl? See, I don't even know their name.
I'm trying to figure something out, and you know what? I can't even know. Who's the one with the hair? I don't know.
Who's the one on the flying carpet?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know these people. And there's a black one. I'm like, see, I don't even know the black lady. I'm like, ooh.
And that'd be Tiana.
Thank you.
I'm here for
the
rescue.
You're here to help.
I got it. Clutch. I got the clutch. Yeah, absolutely.
You are on my call a friend team.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. If you ever go on The Millionaire, hit up Imagine.
Yes.
He may or may not know the answer, but he'll at least have a laugh.
I'm down for the effort.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay. In that case, question number three. What has been the worst advice you've ever received?
The worst advice I ever received was from a guy I was dating, and I wanted to go pursue a master's degree in Australia. And my focus was going to be on reality TV before reality TV took off.
Okay, I'm intrigued by this.
And the people who were doing it were all in Australia. They were doing like real hardcore academic research. And he was just like, why are you going to go and be with all those white people? And then I took a step back and started to think about it, and then I just didn't do it.
You were going to be like, nah, fuck you, I'm going. And then you went.
I didn't. But when I had a chance to move to Egypt, I just took a leap of faith and did it.
And how has that been going?
I've been there 13 years.
So you're just visiting LA. You're not even...
I'm visiting LA.
You're going
right back
to Cairo.
I came here for Podcast Movement.
I've always wanted to go to Egypt.
Then let's do it. Let's make a plan.
I've been to Thailand, Costa Rica, and Iceland. Love every spectrum of difference that each one offers. And I know that the northern portion
you'll
of Africa
enjoy
will love it.
Oh,
man, it's awesome.
I mean, you'll do some of the quirky things like riding a camel and, you know.
Oh, you can do that in Palm Springs. That's easy. Yeah, that's an hour away.
But in
that's
front
fine.
Of the pyramids, you're like, you got to have that real moment.
That's true.
Yeah. And go inside the pyramid. Yeah,
okay.
You'll do all of that. And then take a sailboat down the Nile. Yes.
Okay, now you're talking. I dig that. That sounds like a bucket list item I can be a part of.
Right, we can put together a short list.
Yes. Okay, Kim, so now that I provided you three questions, most people are not ready on the spot. Do you have three questions for me?
I can come up with three questions
just
for you.
Just some random dude you just met just five minutes ago.
I can do this.
Okay, Kim, here we go.
So, quick question for
you. Shoot.
If you could live anywhere else other than where you currently live,
man,
where would you go?
That's a fantastic question. You know what? And it's a really simple answer that a lot of people will understand. But I'm going to say, back to where I'm from, the San Gabriel Valley in Southern California. It's not like, oh, I want to go to like London. But it's just back home. I'm from the IE in Riverside, which is about half hour away from where that location is. But here's why. There are these San Gabriel parrots. There's these wild parrots in the San Gabriel Valley. And they do this most annoying chirp sound. They squawk at like an ungodly hour in the morning. But when I grew up, that was my sound. That was my alarm clock. So I would love to go home and hear my parrots early in the morning when I wake up because, you know, that's how I know you're home.
I love hearing this, you know, because I sometimes think that we don't have enough value for the natural sound environments where we live.
Yeah.
And whether it's like my grandmother used to have a certain kind of laugh.
Oh, yeah.
The sound of holidays, you know, in your family. These are really rich, sound-rich moments that trigger good memories and good times.
Yeah, just as valuable nostalgia as, you know, your favorite gumbo or your favorite pasta or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things really matter, and the auditory spectrum is not given as much attention to. But, man, I miss my parrots.
Yeah.
Great question. That was question number one. What do you got? Question number two.
Second question, and I'm sure you get this a lot.
No, I don't.
Perhaps. Give me the name of someone who really inspires and motivates you.
Oh, that's a great question. And you know what? It's going to be my grandfather. And he is the definition of selfless. And I've learned the quality of love output that you can provide all stems from being selfless.
And not enough people are doing that these days.
Nah. Empathy will definitely get you a long way forward. But being selfless, truly putting yourself second before the person in front of you, that is where real change is at.
I love this.
Yes, yes.
And it's good to hear that from you and have that family connection that's so strong.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, question number three, Kim. Take us out.
Last question. I'm trying to decide if I want to go music or podcast.
Oh, you can go wherever you want. That's the beauty of this conversation.
I'm going to keep it in the audio field.
Sure.
So if you could give one recommendation for me for either a music group to listen to, or an artist, or a podcast to listen to that you like?
Fantastic. I don't listen to podcasts. I run three of them. I don't like listening to them.
I love podcasts.
Really? Okay, fantastic. Well, I got three of them for you to listen to. but I never really got into podcasts. I couldn't recommend podcasts beyond mine.
Okay.
You can listen to mine. I recommend mine.
I can do that.
Cool.
That's a start.
And then music artists. You know, my favorite band is called Incubus.
Mm.
They're a rock band. They were pretty big in like the 2000s. Mm. That would be my recommendation. Love the versatility of the music, from being alternative rock, somewhat reggae influence, a little bit of drum and bass.
Do you play instrument?
Not at all. I rap.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll find this interesting about Cairo. I mean, it's a very rich music culture.
Love it.
There is a rock scene.
Ooh.
And there's also a metal scene. And so a lot of, and I'm sorry, duh, of course there's a hip hop scene.
Oh, yeah, over the world. Yeah,
right.
Taking over
exactly.
the world, clearly.
It's totally global.
Yeah, yeah. You're not a rapper? I could have sworn you were a rapper. No, straight out of Cairo.
That's a long story, but no.
Okay, we'll get there.
It's all good. Yeah.
Well, Kim, thank you so much. It was a wonderful conversation, and thanks for joining us for Three Questions.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, back at the Podcast Movement. Imagine still running the show. Who do we have today?
Yes. Hi, I am Christy Ritchie, and I am one of the hosts and producers of the podcast Friends Among Strangers.
Friends Amongst Strangers.
Yes.
I like where this is going already.
Yeah. So we are a TV rewatch podcast. We rewatch MTV's The Real World, starting from the very beginning.
Oh, wow. Season one, like the early 90s.
1992, New York City. Yeah, we started with them. We just wrapped season two, L.A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it purely based on The Real World, or do you go to Road Rules?
No, we've just done Real World.
Oh, Road Rules is my jam.
Yeah.
You know, they do like all the real world impact and the, I guess it was the kickoff to reality TV, as most people say.
Oh, yeah.
And I just really find that Road Rules, I think, was a bit more superior in that you had to be a little bit more ingenious in how you spent your money, how you traveled, the people you meet among traveling, and then doing cool stuff along the way.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a precursor to Amazing Race.
That's definitely facts.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how Amazing Race just totally ripped off Road Rules?
I never even put that together until you were just saying, like, oh, wait a second. Yeah. That's very Amazing Race-ish.
Yeah. Very nice. Okay, so fantastic. So I'm going to ask you three questions.
Okay.
And then we'll see where the conversation goes.
All right.
Friends Amongst Strangers. I dig it.
Yeah.
Question number one. Who is the most overrated Disney princess?
Most overrated Disney princess.
Yeah.
Probably Cinderella.
Cinderella?
Yeah.
You don't hear that very often.
Yeah, I just feel like because she's so well known, and I don't know. I think there are other ones that have more, that's what I'm looking for. I don't know. More interesting qualities, I think.
Interesting qualities. Okay, yeah. So in that case, which Disney princess has more interesting qualities?
That's a good question. I mean, I love Belle because she loves to read, and I love to read.
Awesome.
So I like her. I also like Jasmine because she's spunky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So no spunk coming from Cinderella.
Not as much.
Okay, cool. No. Cinderella's got to work on her spunk and tenacity.
Yeah.
Okay, question number two. What has been your greatest challenge?
In podcasting or in life?
Take the question how you will.
Okay, my biggest challenge. That is a very good question. Probably just appreciating the way I grew up probably would be a big challenge because
how so? That's a good answer.
Yeah. So my dad was in the Air Force.
Okay.
He left for basic when I was 4 days old, and so that's how I grew up. And growing up, I didn't quite appreciate that I had to move every few years and leave my friends behind and start all over.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've grown older, I've definitely appreciated like. I got to live in Germany for 3 years. And fun fact, we moved to Germany. When we moved there, it was still West and East Germany.
Oh, wow.
And like 6 months later is when the wall came down.
So you were there for that. How old were you when you were there? Not to age you.
Oh, I was six.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Dang. I was going to be like, I remember seeing bright lights and it was going crazy. And
No. Well, I was in Germany. I wasn't in Berlin. I was in a different part of what was then West Germany.
Okay.
But when we left, it was a unified country.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That is a fun fact.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, question number three. Do you have a pet peeve amongst people?
Where do I start?
Let me just unroll this scroll.
Let's see. Pet peeve. What? Narrow it down. I guess I don't like people who spout off about stuff that they don't know about. Like people that they're, especially when it comes to like political stuff, history stuff, they're like, yeah, I know this. Like, dude, no, you don't. Just shut up.
Yeah.
Sit down and let people who actually know what they're talking about talk.
Yeah. And be open to listen when they do talk.
That's it. Yeah, I think that's really the crux of it, too, is not just that they don't know. It's because they willfully do not want to know.
Yeah, willfully ignorant.
Yes. That's probably the biggest pet peeve.
Okay, that's a good one. That's good. Okay, so the flip side of this conversation is I normally throw out three questions to my guest.
Uh-huh.
And in this instance, do you have three questions for me?
Okay. Let's see. Your favorite live musical performance?
Oh, man, Incubus.
Oh, I love that.
I love Incubus. That's number one. I'm going to go see them in August.
Oh, nice.
I just love the vibe that the whole crowd gets into. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the unpopular answer. Mm-hmm. But I will die on this hill.
Okay.
Limp Bizkit.
Really?
Limp Bizkit. There is no live performance like a Limp Bizkit performance because the crowd is absolutely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And as much flack that Fred Durst gets as a frontman, the way he can orchestrate a live crowd is masterful.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I can see that because I really appreciate Wes Borland. I think he's an amazing guitarist.
Oh, very nice. Okay, we just became best friends. All right, question number two. What do you got?
Okay. If you were to... if you had to go into outer space and you had to take three things with you, what would you take?
Oh, number one, oxygen.
Okay. Okay, besides basic living stuff.
Okay, if I'm just going to go out into space and I need some stuff, probably I would like a digital photo frame.
Okay.
So that way, you know, just on loop. The charger to said digital photo frame. Gonna need that. Make sure it doesn't die. Unless it's solar powered. I don't know. I'm spinning off the frame. Any case, third thing I would bring into space. You got me on that one, man. You got me on that one because, you know, I'm out in space. I know that whatever I'm going out there with, I'm not bringing back. So I just want some type of nostalgic memory. So I guess just, you know, like I said, the photo album, the photo frame is all you really need. And then your willful desire to explore the unknown. That's all I got. Okay.
Okay.
Question number three. What do you got?
Okay. If you could have a coffee chat with anybody, living or dead, who would it be?
Walt Disney.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a huge Walt Disney fan.
Okay.
I know how much of an asshole he was. And I can speak to that because, you know, like I said, don't talk about what you don't know.
Yeah.
I know Walt Disney.
Okay.
He was kind of a jerk. But he faced so many uphill battles pursuing what he believed in to be good entertainment.
Mm.
I want to know more what that looked like for someone in that era.
Oh, yeah.
You know, first animated film, first theme park, so many firsts.
Mm-hmm.
And each time that he presented an idea, they were like, you're crazy. What the hell? Why would you even do that? And just what was going through your mind and what kept you going to believe in what you believed in that much to pursue it to its end. So I would love to get into Walt Disney's head a little bit more.
That'd be cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Go ahead and plug your stuff one more time so people know where to find you and who you are.
Yeah. So, again, my name is Christy. I am one of the hosts and producers of Friends Among Strangers. You can find us. We're very active on Instagram at Friends Among Strangers Pod. Also the same handle for Facebook. And then you can follow us on Twitter at FAS_pod.
Fantastic. Well, Christy, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you. And
that was great to
thanks
meet
for
you too.
Stopping by for three questions.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Madge is still here at Podcast Movement, still rocking and rolling. And who do we have here? Who's our next guest?
My name is Nesmith Savadoff. I'm originally from Maine, live in Los Angeles now, and I'm here with Backtable.
Hey, okay, what is Backtable? What does it do?
It's a medical podcast network featuring four different shows currently, but we're always growing. One's on innovation in medicine, looking at new tools and technologies, including like using video games to teach surgeons how to do various operations.
Awesome.
There's also an ear, nose, throat channel, interventional vascular radiology channel.
No idea what that is, but
and lastly, urology. I mean, what's exciting is I don't know what what these are all about either. I'm in there as an audio editor. I'm making them sound better. I'm making them, you know, convey how smart they are to the audience.
Right.
But the audience is physicians, and it's doctors interviewing doctors. And so rather than trying to create a podcast that's going to appeal to absolutely everyone, you know, you're going in for surgery.
Right.
This is a podcast that captures the, like, behind-the-scenes conversations that doctors would be having with each other anyway, and just sharing them with a larger audience. And so folks who've, you know, finished medical school but haven't gone back for further training,
sure,
this is a chance for them to stay up on what the newest technology is, what is coming down the pipeline,
that is
for them
so
to
cool.
go and learn about.
So it's almost like, you know, your run-of-the-mill medical journal, but in a some sense, it's a bit more niche, but then it's also providing the opportunity to learn more about what it is you're trying to listen into, trying to educate yourself and others as to what topics are being covered in the medical field that you would normally do in a medical journal, but it's a bit more digestible because it's auditory.
Exactly. And in this day and age, you know, somebody can listen to it on their ride home. Somebody can listen to it while they're running.
Yeah.
You know, someone can even listen into it perhaps while they're cleaning their tools at the end of the day.
What, but not while they're operating, preferably. Focus.
Preferably.
Please focus. Okay, here we go, Ness. I got three questions for you, sir. Question number one, what has been your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge, I think it's been overcoming this sense that there's so much in the world and I want to do all of it. And realizing that there will be time to do all of it, but I need to do one thing well right now. And if it doesn't work out, that's fine. I can stop. I can quit. I can move on.
Right.
My favorite story in that example was watching my father, who had played trumpet for his whole life, put down the instrument and step away from it because he'd reached a point where if he wasn't practicing for 3 hours a day, he wasn't going to stay at the level he was at. He'd effectively plateaued. And if he didn't double down and commit 6 hours a day to the
right.
instrument, he wasn't going to get any further with it. So he decided to start over. He picked up violin. And that way he was able to continue growing in something. And he did that without any rejection, negativity, or reluctance even.
Yeah.
And so from that, I learned that it's worth taking something as far as you can. And if it doesn't keep doing it for you, go do something else.
That's fascinating. That very much speaks to me because I started out in music and I started rapping. And then I don't think I've plateaued just yet. But I feel like my attention can be turned elsewhere, and here I am doing podcasts now. And I feel like it's really nice to have that reinvigoration of reinventing yourself and starting over, and it equally being terrifying and exciting at the same time. Great example. Question number two. Do you have a pet peeve that people do?
Oh, golly. A lot. One of the ones that irks me the most is when folks come up and assume I haven't thought through what I'm doing. And the example
there, about this?
So much. The story that goes with that one is sound check. And I'm setting up my drum kit and somebody comes up to me and starts saying, oh, I see you're doing it this way. Have you considered doing it that way? It's like, of course I have. This is my bread and butter. This is what I spend all my time thinking about. If I had the money, I would have bought the thing that you're talking to me about.
Right.
Are you going to buy it for me? No? Okay, then back up. Like, I can't carry around, you know, if I'm touring in a, you know, rented Prius, we've got five guys in there, we only have so much room for gear, we can't bring a power conditioner, so I'm sorry, we're going to use a power strip.
So people just, it just annoys the hell out of you, like, just let me do what I'm doing,
and
I'm here for a reason, let me do it.
If you come up to me and you say, tell me how you reached the position you're in, or tell me what led you to the conclusion that you made, or the gear buy that you decided, like, I see you've got a Samson microphone, you know, tell me why you're using that microphone. Instead of walking up to you and saying, I see you have a Samson, have you considered using a Shure? Of course you've considered using a Shure.
Right.
But for whatever reason in your background, you don't have one right now.
Great point. Great point. It was a gift.
You know, I mean.
Exactly. It was not my choice. But you know what? It was free, so I'm not complaining. That's great. Okay. Question number three. Who is the most overrated Disney princess?
Ooh.
He wasn't ready, guys.
At all. Pwah, 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 pwah.
They're the hard hitters. We're going for the hard hitters. Most overrated Disney princess.
Man, I don't know the canon well enough.
Really?
Really?
You know,
yeah.
I'm learning with this question, you got people that feel of some kind of way. They're like, oh, absolutely, it was Jasmine. Fuck Jasmine.
Yeah.
But then you have also people who are like, no, no, no. Yeah, I don't really watch that much.
Yeah.
And that part is surprising because I'm a huge Disney fan. I feel like everyone has an opinion on Disney.
Right.
So when I encounter that, it's always like, huh.
Yeah.
The world is much bigger.
I can tell you the most underrated action star, Jason Statham.
Oh, okay. I can get on board with that.
That's my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Why has it taken so long for Jason Statham to get the impact and respect and flowers beyond the Transporter series?
Great question.
Yeah.
Great
Come on,
question.
Yep. Has he been a Bond villain yet? Because he needs to be.
Oh, I would watch that.
I'll watch that in a second.
Yeah. In fact, I want that spinoff. They can drop Bond and just show me the villain.
Yeah, show me
give me the backstory
give me
with
the
Jason
origin
Statham.
Of this Bond villain, Jason Statham.
Yes.
Take my money.
That's the series I need.
Oh, man. Can someone get MGM on the phone, please?
I mean, Wondery's here. They'll get you a connection to Amazon. They own MGM
That's
now.
True.
There we go.
That's true. Okay, now, so here's a flip. So now that I've given you three questions on the spot, do you have three questions for me?
Tell me about 626. I see you got the pin on your lapel there.
Yeah, 626.
Area
that's,
code?
That's the area code. So I'm born and raised San Gabriel Valley, and that's the hood I rep. 626 all day, every day. I live in the IE now just because 626 is incredibly expensive than it used to be. But yeah, 626 all day, every day.
That's awesome.
Question
and
number
two.
And
then you told me you were a rapper and you made it into podcasting.
Yeah.
What was the bridge? Was there a particular moment? Was there somebody you were talking to in a back alley once who just said, you know what you could do?
Yeah.
Or was it an internal, you know, leap for yourself? You were listening to them
more? I feel
more?
Like I'm always having conversations and I love having engaging conversations. I don't dig small talk. Let's just fucking get into it and tell me who the most overrated Disney princess is. And I feel like those types of conversations are not had enough, but I want to have them all the time. So me and my best friend, Motion, we started the Social Nuisance Podcast just because we were talking all the time about the difficult conversations. We're like, you know, we should record this. And then it just kind of snowballed.
Boom.
Yeah. Now,
boom.
Now I'm doing three different podcasts.
That's all it takes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, Ness, last question. What do you got?
If you could get everybody in the United States to either listen to one, you know, type either TED Talk or speech or podcast episode, not even an entire series, but if you could just get everybody to listen to one thing, what would it be?
The Dictator. The speech from Charlie Chaplin.
Yep.
Was it 1930? Nope, 30. Shit, it was right before Hitler.
That movie where he's dancing around with the globe.
38,
and, yep.
Yeah, 37, yep. 38. Charlie Chaplin, The Dictator. Just YouTube it. YouTube, Charlie Chaplin, The Dictator, the greatest speech ever. And you'll see exactly what we're talking about. I mean, the movie was meh. I said I'd watch the movie.
But that
man,
highlight.
That speech, solid. Yep. And it was just spoke so much to humanity. And I love that speech. So if everyone anywhere, translated even, could listen to that speech,
That's
think the world
need.
Would be a little bit better.
Thank you,
Ness. I do appreciate the three questions, man. That was fantastic. That's it. Three questions. Appreciate you. And if you want to plug your stuff one more time, Backtable.
Backtable, Medical Podcast Network, great group. Also, Kurtco Media, dropping Solar. It's mixed in Dolby Atmos. I do some freelance for them as well. It's an incredible thriller set in outer space, but it's all audio. So close your eyes, smoke some weed, listen to that in your best headphones.
Put me on a rocket and send me up.
There you go.
That's awesome. Fantastic, Ness. It was an absolute pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. Okay, we're still back in a less drunken state. In a stroke of luck and somewhat fate, I've re-encountered TV Doctor from our previous episode. And now we're here for three questions at the podcast movement. Okay, Dr. TV. Do you prefer PhD TV or Dr. TV?
I will take either one.
Okay, fantastic. I'm going to go with PhD TV because that just sounds way freaking cooler. All right, PhD TV. I have three questions for you. Question number one. What has been your greatest challenge?
Ever?
Take the question how you will.
It's going to happen. Yeah, you'll see.
Let's come back to that one. Let's do a second one.
We're going to put a push pin. Let's start with something like everyone has an opinion on. I know for sure you'll have an opinion on. Who is the most overrated Disney princess?
Oh. Cinderella.
Cinderella. That is vote number two today for Cinderella. But why Cinderella? Most overrated.
Her whole life is just about cleaning and serving mean people in her life. And she's a bit of a doormat. And I feel like she doesn't fit a modern audience. But yet she's the quintessential Disney princess. You go to like the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo boutique in yep. Disney World, right? And yep. kids want to dress up like her. And I feel like she's the weakest feminist model Disney ever put out.
I feel like we hit a chord. We might have struck a chord. I really fucking hate Cinderella. She is a horrible role model. Okay, in that case, has Disney made any progress in that realm? And if so, which Disney princess or male or female figure fits your standards?
Yeah, I actually really liked Frozen.
Okay.
Because... at least, I don't know that I've seen the second one.
I haven't seen the second one.
In the first one, it's not a love story. It's not a romance. That's not what the story is about for Elsa, right? It's about her overcoming a childhood trauma and finding her own power and her own voice and not suppressing her talents because they threaten and scare other people.
Yeah.
So I feel like even though the songs might have gotten overplayed and people got Frozen fatigue.
I'm a little much on the songs. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like as a role model, Frozen did a pretty good job.
Did you enjoy Encanto?
Did I enjoy it with?
Encanto, the latest one that just dropped out?
Oh, I did see it. It's okay.
It's okay.
I love Lin-Manuel Miranda. I love his music, and you can totally tell that he did the music.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's very Hamilton-esque.
Oh, for sure. and very In the Heights-esque, too. Like, even before Hamilton, you can hear his sound. The story was just mediocre to me. I don't know why. I can't pinpoint why.
I loved Encanto because it didn't have your quintessential villain. The villain is really outlined. Oh, that's the bad guy. That person is evil. Mm-hmm. Do not like them. But the lines were so wonderfully blurred in Encanto.
That's true.
I was like, wait, did we just end the movie without a villain? That was awesome. Okay, well done. That's some great writing right there, I gotta say.
Yeah, actually, now that you say that, I will get on board with that. And I do love what a lot of stories are doing, especially out of, like, the Marvel universe or, you know, the Disney franchise. Okay, so you cannot have a villain like Encanto, or you can have a villain that has very sympathetic motivations.
Right.
Like, it's not just... I'm a James Bond villain and I want to be a megalomaniac and take over the world.
Right.
It's...
So what you're saying is Thanos had a point.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it sounds radical to eliminate 50% of the planet, but his reasons are not bad.
Right. I thought that was wonderful, too. I saw a t-shirt where it said Thanos had a point. I was like, oh, I got to get that. Because, you know, it leads me into my third question, and that is there a pet peeve that people do? Is there a pet peeve that you have that people do?
I just have to limit it to one.
You know, that's the funny thing. Everyone's like, oh, let me get my scroll out. Yeah. And
so I am an Enneagram 8. I don't know if you know what that means.
Nope.
But it's a personality type in this Enneagram personality system. And I value people who tell me exactly what they think. If you beat around the bush, if you're trying to sugarcoat something... I really struggle with that kind of communication. Like, I just want you to tell me what's the point. Tell me efficiently. Tell me how you really feel, because I can't help you. I can't address you. I can't, like, authentically relate to you if you are not, like, showing up as the real you. It doesn't mean you have to be, you know, a bitch, right? You can be tactful.
But you're being labeled as such.
But you can be... I know, but I feel like you can do it in a way that is still... Like, this is the heart of the matter. This is the matter of fact. And so when people don't communicate clearly and directly, I really struggle with that.
You're totally right. I think the key word that you touched on there was tact. A lot of people just don't know how to have tact and evolve their tactfulness to have a difficult conversation. And I think that's what a lot of the world is lacking. But I can totally understand that. You just stop beating around the bush. What do you want? Tell me what it is. And...
A limited amount of time. Don't make me work for it.
Exactly.
Just tell me.
Just tell me. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're circling back. Question number one. What has been your biggest challenge?
I think being a parent to a child who is my polar opposite. In other words,
man.
I am an extrovert. I am a matter of fact, like, straight shooter.
Yeah.
And I have a daughter who is an introvert. She's 15.
Oh yeah, she's fuck the world right now.
Oh yeah,
fuck everybody. You know what? Fuck you. Yeah,
but she's very sensitive as well.
I think that's like an outer shell. The outer shell is fuck you, but the inside, like, oh, there's something more going on inside.
Like somebody said to me, you're only as good of a parent as you are to the child who is least like you. So it's easy to be a good parent to a mini me because you're just like, you have similar interests, but. To be a parent to your opposite is very, very difficult. So that's my biggest challenge at the moment.
Very nice. Okay, so here's the flip side. PhD TV. Do you have three questions for me?
I will think of some right now.
Be a straight shooter. Don't hold back.
What's your greatest fear?
Greatest fear, being alone. I don't like being alone. which is why this is incredibly difficult, because as you can tell, my partner in crime is not here. So I had a really difficult day one yesterday, and I was just like, I don't want to fucking talk to anyone because I don't like small talk. So where are you from? What's going on? And I was like, how fucking hard is this shit? Let's just talk about it. But nobody wants to do that. It's all small talk and handshake, kissing babies. Don't do that. So being alone, very, very big fear. Then freeway overpasses.
Because they might collapse?
No, I just might go off, or the wind might blow me over, or I've seen too many disaster movies.
Okay.
Sure.
How do you most want to die?
How do I, in my sleep?
Me too.
I don't fear death. I fear dying.
Like the conscious realization that your flame is being extinguished in the moment.
I think it's the pain. Drowning, burning, gunshot, what have you. Anticipation of dying, plane going down, like the last 20 seconds, like, fuck that. But death, I think I'm okay with. Dying, don't like that. That was a solid question, too.
Thank you.
Question number three, PhD TV.
If you could...
Yeah, we remember it.
If you could take back one thing in your life.
Yeah.
Like, strike it from time. It never happened, and it could alter the course of the rest of your life. What would that thing be?
Nothing. And I played with this question a lot, because I know people always ask, what's your biggest regret? What could you take back if you could take back anything? And I realized I am who I am because of the bullshit that I've been through and the mistakes that I've made and the really poor choices I've had. I really enjoy thoroughly who I am today, and I could not be who I am today without those previous missteps. So I wouldn't take back anything. As painful as they may have been, wouldn't take them back.
I think that's a great way to look at life. That's a good life philosophy.
Yeah, thank you.
You may too be an 8.
Hey, all right. I'm an 8 out of 10. Out of solid 10. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. And we'll see you all next time.